Want to remind us that later on this morning, after the second service at 11:45, we will be holding our annual church business meeting. If you are a member, we would love to have you there. I ask that you would be there. If you are not a member, you're welcome to come and kind of listen in and hear how things go and what God is doing. We celebrate what God is doing in our church over the last year, and we seek Him for the next year. So again, that'll be taking place following our second service this morning at 11:45. This morning, we're going to start out with what I like to do every once in a while, a pop quiz. Love those pop quizzes, don't we? You win a free meeting in a little while. Yes. So the first question, which actually should be a pretty easy one, is where were we in the Bible last week? Anybody remember our text last week? I'm giving you permission to talk during church today, all right? I'm waiting. Matthew, all right. We were in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And as a matter of fact, let's start out, and I would like you to turn there with me. And we're going to reread that again, and maybe it'll get those pop quiz juices flowing, all right? And I think we're not quite awake this morning, but that's okay. Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Once again they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. All right, so we were there last week, and I said that we're going to look at the biblical aspect, the decisions that need to be made for engaging in discipleship with Jesus. So here's the next pop quiz question is, what was the first point of decision? What was the first point that we talked about last week? See, I'm trying to figure if I need to preach it again this week. Anybody remember? Invitation. The first part was invitation. Remember, that was the head part of it. Understanding that God is, as we said just a few moments ago, that Jesus is the head of the church. It is that submission to His lordship of our lives. So, invitation. The second point, what was it? Invitation, then? Transformation. Good, we're getting better. That moves from the head to the heart, and that was the understanding that when we become a disciple of Christ, we are giving Him permission to transform our lives in whatever way He deems necessary. Sometimes that's a difficult thing, but we give Him that. Then the third point that we talked about was cooperation. This goes, remember, head, heart, hands and feet. Now it's the point in time where what we're doing is we're saying, God, I am engaging in kingdom advancement with you. I am going to be a part of what you are. And that becoming a disciple of Jesus is saying, I am willing to give up whatever is necessary for the purpose of the kingdom. So now this is really brings us to the place of where we want to start and launch this morning. The pop quiz is over. But the question is, what does this look like? What does it look like for us to live that out, not just in our personal life, but as a church? And this morning, if you remember last week, I said this is a two-part. Last week was part one, a call to engage. Today is part two. The first part was the biblical portion where it's, here's what the Bible says a disciple is. And then today, I wanted to get into the more practical part of what does this mean. In essence, this is the pastor's report, our vision for this next year for the annual meeting that's coming a little bit later on. You don't want me to talk this long later on. And so I want to share my thoughts and our thoughts that I've been sharing with our elders leading up to this time. So what does this look like for us to live as disciples, engaged in the invitation, the transformation, and into the cooperation with what God is doing? And really, that brings us to the point of understanding what our focus is. What is our focus going to be? Our focus is going to have to be making disciples who make disciples. As a matter of fact, this is really, when you look at what Scripture says, all through the Bible, discipleship runs through every book of the Bible in some form or another. And so what we are looking at is that we want to do what the Bible talks about. Now, someone might go, I thought you were going to have some like way out there theme or vision for us, that we were going to, you know, take on the world or whatever. And, you know, I think sometimes the best place to be is right where Scripture says we should be. Go and make disciples. Now, I want us to understand what that means, because sometimes we feel that making disciples is the same as making converts. And this gets a little confusing, because sometimes what happens is we'll get this thought into our head of, all I need to do is go and tell someone about Jesus, and then I've done my part. But we understand that what Scripture talks about is way beyond just proselytizing people. Scripture brings us to the place where our understanding is that we are to be out there investing in the lives, yes, telling them about Jesus, but accepting Jesus as their Savior is only the beginning of a relationship, is the beginning of the process. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But our focus is to make disciples who make disciples. Now, this is where it gets fun, because the next part of it is, what is our method? What's the process by which we are going to do this? And we're going to look at doing this year and beyond by building intentional life-on-life relationships. This morning, you're probably going to hear some different thoughts from me, or some different perspectives from what you expect or maybe even think. Maybe some of the things that I share with you this morning are things that you don't necessarily like to hear or want to hear either. But one of the things that we find a lot of times in church is that we tend to feel that growth and discipleship happens as a result of what the church does for me. In other words, what classes does the church offer for me that I might find growth? And this is becoming a very common perception among churchgoers today, is pretty much, I go to church to be filled so that I can just go into the rest of my week and enjoy what God's blessings are. And so we think that that's what it is really about. But true discipleship and healthy spiritual growth happens when we engage in life-on-life relationships. You can maybe even just think, just kind of take a moment to consider that thought. Even in your own life, in those relationships that are strong spiritually, if you have somebody in your life that is a strong, godly person, when you're with that person, you often walk away feeling like you've received something, like you're growing in that relationship, like you're growing in your spiritual walk as well. That's why it's important that our method be engaging in intentional life-on-life relationships, because that's the place where discipleship happens. Now, in order for us to focus on making disciples that make disciples, and for us to use that method, what this is going to require of us is really a new scorecard. A new scorecard. Now this is an interesting concept, and I've heard this in different areas. The scorecard is used often. But really, when we consider the scorecard, churches are often determined their effectiveness in a couple of areas. One area is the number of people in the pews or in the seats. How many people does the church have? You know, it's interesting, because when you go to different meetings and stuff like that, that is often the things that are asked. How many people attend your church in regards to that? We talk about that idea. But one of the things that we understand is, in our culture of today, the church culture of today, growth does not necessarily mean health. As a matter of fact, what we are finding, you've heard me say this before, is churches are not growing. Most churches are plateauing or declining. And what little growth that there is actually called transfer growth. Transfer growth is not healthy growth. As a matter of fact, transfer growth many times is very unhealthy growth, because what that implies is this. People attend one church, they don't agree with something, or their needs are not being met. As I said just a few moments ago, a lot of times our thinking is that the church is here to fill me and make me feel better about myself. So if the church doesn't do that, I get frustrated. What do? I go find another church where I begin to feel that feeling until what? I don't have that feeling anymore. So then I go. So what's happening is you're having a rotation of churches where we just go to a different church, the same people moving around going to different churches. What we're not seeing is what is called conversion growth. That is where discipleship comes in. People are not coming to know the Lord, they're not attending churches, and therefore churches are not growing. And that's the healthy growth. And so what we want is to experience the healthy growth. That is the first part of the scorecard of most churches, the number of people in the seats. The second part of a scorecard is the budget. We'll be talking about that later on today. But a lot of times someone will look at a budget of a church. You know, you hear some of these churches that are large churches, they're like, oh, we've got, you know, multi-million dollar budget. And what's your first thought? Wow, they're a healthy church. But one of the things that we find, just like attendance, budget does not necessarily equate to health. And so we need to change the scorecard. You may know or remember that every year for the past several years that we have gone through what is called the five survey questions. These questions are questions that revolve around some specific points. If you remember the questions that we've asked, the questions revolve around things like this. Are you reading God? How often are you in God's Word? How often do you pray? And with that one, there was with someone else other than your family. How many gospel conversations do you have with an unsaved person? What's your missions involvement? Do you give? Do you pray? Are you involved? And our fifth one was, what are your church ministry involvement? Are you involved in what is happening in the church? Now, I want to say this. Those are good questions. Those are really good questions. They're not bad in any stretch of the imagination. Over the past couple of years, I've sat down, and after taking those questions and getting the results and looking them over, there's just something in me that was, I was trying to find an answer. Because as I looked at the answers to that, one of the things that was evident was there was very minimal change. From 2014 to 2021, there was minimal change on any of those. What you found was there might have been a slight from where it says for those who read your Bible more than one time a week to those who read it every day, there might have been a slight tilt that went there. But in reality, most of what we were seeing was that everything was kind of just staying the same. And so my question was, is it that the questions are what we're not supposed to ask? Are those bad questions? And I came to the conclusion, no, those aren't bad questions. Those are good questions. Are we reading God's Word? Are we having these conversations? But as I began to understand and look at the results of those questions, there was something that finally jumped out at me as a realization. One thing that was missing is discipleship. If discipleship is taking place, those numbers should be shifting. They should be transferring or transitioning to higher numbers, because we are then growing in faith and maturity. So I'm looking at this and going, okay, we're missing discipleship. So maybe the questions that we are asking are not the correct questions that we need for right now. For example, maybe some of the questions that we can ask ourselves, and as I ask these, consider them this morning, in 2021, so in this last year, outside of the Sunday morning service, how have you engaged in your spiritual growth and maturity? See, because one of the things that I realized was in that last one, how many times in a week do you read your Bible? There was a section that said zero, then one to two times a week. And I realized in both of those sections, that can be done at church. And I could have accomplished both of those. But how many times over the course of the year did I engage in my own spiritual growth and maturity outside of the Sunday morning time? The second question, in what ways have you seen spiritual growth and maturity in your own life? Now, I want you to consider that for a moment. In the last year, how have you experienced personal growth, spiritual personal growth? Because this is an important thing for us to get. The life of a disciple is one that never is stagnant. It should never plateau. We should always be growing in the faith, the knowledge, and the maturity of Jesus Christ until we reach heaven. We're not there. So how have you experienced growth? The third question, outside of your spouse and family, who have you spiritually invested in? Now, this is different than the question that was in our normal one. The normal one just says, how many conversations, spiritual conversations have you had? This transitions us from that question of, am I here to just make a convert or am I here to make a disciple? Who outside of your family have you invested spiritually in this last year? Number four, who in your life regularly holds you accountable? That's a tough one. We don't like to be held accountable by anyone, do we? I'm okay. I'm good. Don't ask me the tough questions. But as a disciple, and if we are looking to grow in faith and in maturity, then we need those who will speak into our lives, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. The last one, what kingdom work have you done this past year? Again, that's a little bit different from that last question. How have you been involved in the church ministries? This is kingdom work because we understand, you'll hear me talk about more in a moment, but this is not about just here. This is about kingdom advancement. We can easily get brought into who we are to the place where we forget that there's a world outside that's dying. And so this idea is we want to move from this point of being, you know, looking at ourselves to we want to be out there doing it. Our focus, making disciples who make disciples. We want to become much more intentional in what we do. And so as we're looking to do that, what this is going to do is this is going to cause us to have to shift our thinking. And the shift in thinking is not going to be easy. These points, I got 5 points that I'm going to share with you here, come from the book Disciple Shift. And as I was reading these, I went, you know, this is really important for us to get, and it's going to be tough because we have been hardwired in our culture, in our church culture of today, to actually think one way, not the other way. For example, the first shift in thinking that we would want to go into is from reaching to making. From reaching to making. See, this is hard because, again, I've even heard the conversation, you know, well, the Bible says that some plant the seed, some water it, and others have the, but God gets the increase, right? So for some, we kind of take that as, well, maybe my job is just simply to go out there and you know, take spiritual pot shots and throw the gospel at people and let it go. But do we understand that if we move from reaching to making, we are going much deeper into this process? It's easy for us to look at someone and say, they're a lost person, they need to know Jesus Christ, and what we do is we just throw that at them. You know, here's a great story that you need to know. But one of the things that we find is if we go to that place, there is a kind of a consistent happening. When we just throw the gospel at somebody and say, you need to make a decision, ask Jesus into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, what happens is this: for a moment they're excited, everything is great, then they begin to live life. And as they begin to live life, shortly what happens is they begin to be attacked by the enemy, because the enemy doesn't like what they just did. So he begins to bring things into their life that causes them frustration. And because they've just been told that they need Jesus Christ, nothing else to follow, they get frustrated, they get down, and you know what they tend to do? They walk away from the faith. They're like, I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for the God that loved me and just wants to bless me. And, you know, you told me that everything was going to change in my life. If we can view a person rather than lost and just needing to hear about Jesus, but kind of from this one of the places I heard it put this way. It's called pre-conversion discipleship. We understand that what we're doing is we're engaging in an intentional relationship, not just for the purpose of bringing them to Christ, but bringing them up in maturity in Christ as well. And this is a change that we need to grasp, we need to understand. The next shift in thinking would be from informing to equipping. I don't think we a lot of times even really understand that it's easy to get into the information highway, especially now that we live in the technology age where you can go on the internet and you can find anything. But one of the things that we find is in churches, we might have someone walk up to us and say, you know, oh man, you know, I don't know much about this. I wish I could know more about this. And you know what we do, what we tend to do in churches? What we tend to do is we tend to say, you know what, we need to put a class together for that. We need to make a small group for that, or we need to make a Sunday school class. And all of a sudden, what we do is we begin to do this information dump. You want to know about, you're having issues with marriage? Well, you know what? Let's send you to this marriage weekend so that you can be taught how to have a good marriage. Or you know what? Let's start a small group on marriage. Let's do that, and then we can talk about it. Oh, you want to know more about social issues? You know what? Let's do a small group about being Christian in a cancel culture world. You know, we spice it up. We make it look nice. But then we kind of look at this from the standpoint of the best thing that I can do for you is just give you information. Let me tell you a story to kind of prove this point. Several years ago, I had a lovely elderly lady walk up to me, loved her, and she said, Pastor, I don't know how to talk to my friends about Jesus. I don't know how, you know, I don't know how to transition in the conversation to spiritual matters, and you know, it's just really tough, and I don't know how to do this. So you know what I did? I put together a class. I said, you know what? What a great time this is. And so I went and I got Becoming a Contagious Christian, and I'm like, this is great material. And we had a 12-week class. We went every Sunday. We were talking about it. We talked about what it means to become a contagious Christian. I had all of the information. Every week they were handed out a sheet that they answered questions, and they talked about it. We talked about their story, all of this thing. But you know what we never did? It was a fun class. I mean, there was a lot. All through the class, I'm hearing, oh, that's good. Oh, I hadn't heard that before. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. But you know what we never did during the class? We never practiced. Not once did we have a time where we were like, so how are you doing this? How are you engaging in this way? Have you had this conversation with anyone? None of that. You know what ended up happening at the end of the class? Pastor, that was a great class. Thank you. Nobody came to church as a result of that. And you know what? I look back on that and I go, I could have saved myself so much work, so much time and effort, and simply sat down with that individual and said, let's talk about that. Let me help you to walk through how you can share Christ, begin conversations, and do that. It's going to cause a shift in our thinking from information to equipping. Coming alongside and saying, let me help you to see rather than information dump. The next one, the next shift in thinking from program to purpose. From program to purpose. Again, at times I wish I had a dollar for every conversation that I've had over the years that started with, Pastor, we need to. You'd be surprised how many times. You know what? Pastor, we need to do a men's ministry. Pastor, Really, we need to do a prime timers ministry. Or pastor, you know, it would be really nice if we did a singles ministry, a widower's ministry, or this kind of ministry. And pastor, we need to do the NASCAR ministry. And actually, I never had that one, so. But you never know. Different churches have different things. I get it. But you know, a lot of times what happens is they're seeing something that is a need. Those are very real needs. But what's happening is rather than saying, I see the need and I need to invest in these individuals that I see the need for, what they're doing is they're coming back. And as I said before, our tendency is to say the church is the one that has to do this stuff for the people. And so what we're saying is we need to shift from this idea of saying we need to put out there a program that can make it to where people can come to, and then they're going to feel like they're accepted and they're going to engage and they're going to do that. We need to find a different way to do that. Let me share you with something that we're seeing happening right now. If you look out the window to your right, out that way, you will see a hockey rink out there. Now, some people are like, why in the world would you put a hockey rink on a church property? Who even likes hockey? This guy, all right. No, we played yesterday. I'm feeling it. But why did we do that? Is it just because the pastor and a couple of guys wanted to have an ice rink and didn't want to pay for it and go somewhere else? No. Understand that the purpose of this is not to put together a hockey program or any other kind of program. That out there is a relationship building tool. It is moving us from program to purpose. What we're doing is we're going out there on Saturday afternoons and saying, hey, if you know of anybody who wants to come and play hockey, whether they're good, bad, ugly, whatever they are, if they can come, we want to build relationships with them. Kingdom relationships. We want our community to know that Plymouth Alliance Church is a place where they can go, their kids can come, they can be out there, they can be safe, and they can have a free time of fun. We can invest in our culture. It is about purpose rather than program. So there may be times where you think, or you would say, you know, really, maybe this is a great program. You might start hearing a little different shift in the conversation. One of the things you might hear more is, okay, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Because we want to go to purpose rather than program. The next one is we want to move our thinking from activity to relationship. From activity to relationship. Now, this is important because I want to share with you something that maybe you know, maybe you're involved in, maybe you're not. There is a lot of burnout in our church today. There's a lot of burnout in our church today. Now, some of you may not admit it. Some of you may not want to admit it. But I can tell you that in churches today, there is so much activity that takes place for a select number of few people to be involved in. You may have heard of what is called the 80-20 rule. The 80-20 rule stipulates that in a church, 80% of the work gets done by 20% of the people. I can tell you that there are individuals within our church who are giving of their time, of their energy, of all that they have to simply make sure that God's ministry continues to go forward. People are stepping into areas of ministry because they see the need. And what happens is oftentimes it becomes burnout. And we want to be careful of that. We don't want to become that for individuals. We want every individual to serve in a place where they are filled and where they can experience joy within that, rather than just have activity because we sense that we need to have activity. Again, let me tell you a story about that. Several years ago, I was talking with the elders at the time that I had, and as we were approaching Easter, they came to this conclusion that we needed to do something on Good Friday. We didn't normally do a Good Friday service or anything, but they said, you know what, we need to do something for Good Friday. And so as the talk went on, they said, okay, here's what we need to do. We, and I preempt this with we because later on it changed. We need to show the Jesus film. We need to turn our sanctuary into a theater. We need to have popcorn. We need to have all this. We need to have this go out into the mailings. We need to have in the papers. And it was this long list of things to prepare for that day because we wanted to see people come to know Christ through the Jesus film. We turned into a couple of people who gave so much of their time and their energy to make it happen. The day came, Good Friday arrived, and it was one of those moments in my ministry time, my ministry career, where I went home very dejected. I was very frustrated. Because as I looked at who was in that, not one of those guys that was saying, we need to do this, was there on that day. Not one of them took part in the preparation of that day. It became an activity that the church needed to do, but not one that I needed to engage in. And as I looked out into the crowd, which was very small on that day, you know who I saw in the congregation watching the movie? Individuals, what I call the faithfuls, that are at every activity to be an encouragement. Burnout is a very real thing if we are going for activity. So what we want to do is we want to shift this from activity to relationships. In other words, what this means is going to the place of, I am going to build relationships for you. You know what would have been way more effective on that was if every person would have said, I'm going to invite one person to my house. We're going to watch that movie and then we're going to have a conversation about that. We would have reached 10 times more people than what we reached by having an activity at the church. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that activities at church are bad and that we're going to stop those. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is we need to change the focus, our thinking, from activity being the end result to we need to build relationships for that in regards to that. Now, the last one is a very important one, and it's one that I think we can and probably will struggle with. We need to shift in thinking from accumulating to deploying. Accumulating to deploying. As I already said, the top thing that is usually the scorecard of every church is how many people attend your church. We want to grow. We want to become bigger. We want to make, you know, if only our church, if we could only break the 300 attendance point. Oh, if the youth group could only break the 50 number, or if the children's program could get up to 100, then you know what? Then, we need to shift our thinking from accumulating how many people, how many services, however many we have, to instead we are deploying for the kingdom purposes. Then we begin to see God work. We are in the process of planting a church in Elkhart Lake. You'll hear some exciting news, a little bit of exciting news about that in our annual meeting. But I want to tell you this. We don't want Elkhart Lake to be our one and done. We don't want to stop with Elkhart Lake. As a matter of fact, our goal, our desire, is that we want this to become a part of the DNA of Plymouth Alliance Church, that we are deploying people all across the globe. We already have some that we have, and we celebrate those missionaries. We celebrate those workers who have gone out, and we want to continue doing that. We want this to be a church that is a sending church. We want to deploy people for the kingdom of God. And you know, one of the things that requires is simply this, that if we are going to deploy people for the kingdom of heaven, for the kingdom of God, for the advancement of the gospel, that's going to require a lot of people being involved. Because if all we do is have enough for the one, then we're not going to be able to do any more. So the question now comes down to, if we are going to focus on these things, how or what does this look like for us? What does this look like for Plymouth Alliance? So I want to get a little more personal here. This is not about the church global. This is about us. What do we do as Plymouth Alliance Church? And let me go back to what our focus is again. The focus is to make disciples who make disciples. As we talked in Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. To become fishers of men doesn't mean that we're becoming experts in fish. What it means is that we are out there to catch. You know, understand what a good fisherman does. A good fisherman understands what he is going for. He understands all that is required in that. The tackle, the bait, the rod, the reel, timing, weather patterns. There's all kinds of things that come into making a good fisherman. I'm not a good fisherman. I just go out there and throw a worm and hope for the best. But you understand that if I look at discipleship that same way, it's not going to work. So we have to come to this place of going, Jesus, I want to engage in the invitation of discipleship. I want to engage in the personal transformation of this. And whereas Tim told us a couple of weeks ago in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We want to be transformed to become more like you. Why do we want that? So that we can make disciples who look like Christ. And then like Paul, we can say, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We want to engage in intentional relationships for the purpose of becoming like Christ. Now, before I unpack the things that we want to focus on this year, I want to say this. We can't. I understand we cannot force anyone into any of this. I can't make anyone do this. This is a choice. Do I choose? Remember the first point, invitation. Am I willing to engage in the invitation that God is giving to me to be transformed for the purpose of being His hands and feet and cooperating with Him? My encouragement would be, would you be all in and engage? So areas that we're going to see some things this year. The first one is in small groups. Okay, Pastor, you said before, we're not programming. It's not information. It's not all these things. You're right. Small groups are beneficial in that disciple-making process if done correctly. One of the things that we already have several small groups that are taking place, some that have been longer term, some that have been very long term, but we have also in our ministry, you'll be hearing as time goes on, more opening up to other small groups. What these small groups are is we're hoping to make them more intentional about discipleship. How do we grow in Christ? How do we do these things? Rather than it just simply being an interesting topic of discussion. We want them to be, how will this change us? Just to kind of let you know, we had one small group recently that this past end of the year that we had Eternity 101. And in Eternity 101, it talks about heaven. It talks about eternity. And when we came to the end of that time, the group said, I think everybody in the church needs to engage in this class because it changed the way we thought about heaven. It changed the way we thought about living today. And so we're going to reoffer that one. We may reoffer that one in a couple of different ways because it will change. There will be other groups that will be forming, so watch those. And what I would like to say is this, please, if at least possible, attend at least one small group this year. Get involved. This is a growth area. This is a place where we connect and we have intentional relationships. Small groups. Second thing that we want to focus on this year is what I'm calling accountability or discipleship groups. As I said earlier, we tend to grow better when we are with those of like mind who encourage us, challenge us, ask us those tough questions. They're the ones that ask us the question of, hey, how's your reading doing? You know, how's your marriage going? How's this going in your life? And all of a sudden you have this relationship that causes accountability to grow. Now, here's what I'd like to say. Obviously, if you have friends that are close friends now, ones that you get together with all the time, you know what? Simply sit down with those friends and say, you know what? Let's take this to the next level and let's make this about accountability as well. Will you ask me the tough questions? Can I ask you the tough questions? Can we talk about what we're reading together? Have those accountability groups. If you do not have anything like that, then talk to us. We'd love to get you involved in one. Over the course of this year, we're going to be looking for resources that we can help to give as a tool for those groups to be able to kind of work with one another off and to be able to help each other grow. But please don't blow it off and say, you know what, I'm okay, I'm good, I'm good where I'm at. You know what, I read my Bible, I do my devotions, this is a whole different level. Please consider this. Proverbs 27:17 says it the best. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You understand what that point drives home. I can't sharpen myself. I need others there. And please, I know the easy answer is, you know what? Well, my wife does that for me. I love my wife. She is an amazing wife. But I need someone to ask me other questions than what she can ask me. We need a brother or a sister in Christ or two that will come alongside. Do it. Engage. The third area is this, quickly as I wrap this up. Leadership development. For time's sake, I can't get into all of the details of this, but let me start with this. You are a leader. Now you're sitting there going, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. We can go back and forth all day if you want. You are a leader. In some way or another, you are a leader. If you're a parent, you're a leader. If you're a teacher, you're a leader. If you work at a company where there's people that are younger than you, guess what? You're a leader. If you have somebody who started after you started working at a company, guess what? You're a leader. You know what? You're a leader. And one of the things that we find is in so many ways we are leaders, but we don't understand it and we don't have the tools by which to know how to lead effectively. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, as part of that, it says that the Word of God is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. I love that word, training. So one of the things that we want to do is we want to be intentional about raising up godly leaders within the church. And how are we going to do that? How do we want to engage each of us? Well, there's a first one is simply this, mentoring, apprenticing, having somebody there that you are investing in. Do you notice, do you kind of see where we're going? We're going away from a programmatic idea to be there with a person, show them the ropes. Let me tell you, this is the best way to do it. If you are engaged in any kind of church ministry here, find somebody that you can train to do your job. I know nobody wants to hear this. Work yourself out of a job. That's really what I want everybody to do. Because remember, go back to what our shift in thinking is. From accumulating to what? Deploying. If we want to go from accumulating to deploying, what do we need to do? We need to raise up the next generation or the next set of leadership. Because one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to go with the next church, or they're going to go with the next church. Or they're going to go somewhere overseas. And so what we're doing is we're not necessarily saying, I am going to just lose my job. What we're saying is, well, I want every person to have that person by which they are showing them the ropes of life and of ministry. We should be able to, in the future, have it be where no matter what happens, it's just next person files right in. We should never be in a place where we're having to stress over what we don't have. Apprenticeship and mentoring. Then the final one is training. Now, this is what we're going to be doing just quickly. We will be offering some training opportunity for leadership. Now, I'm just going to say it this way. You're all leaders. You also have the opportunity. we're going to be unpacking this more, but there's going to be some times where in the days ahead we're going to have training, and we would invite you all or anybody who can to come out, and we're going to engage with you on leadership training. Now, this is biblical leadership training for all arenas of life. There will be some aspects where you will understand what elder is, but we're talking just general leadership training. You are a leader. If you are engaged in leadership, we want to give you biblical for that. So please know that that will be coming out, and be watching for that. Lastly, let me just say this. Engage. Engage. What am I saying? Engage in what God is doing. Engage in discipleship. Engage in mentoring. Engage in the kingdom advancement. That is what we are hoping to do this next year. Nothing out of the ordinary, nothing crazy. We just want to make disciples who make disciples. Will you engage? Let's pray. Father, as we consider this, we praise you that you are the head of the church. This is your church. And Lord, we want to be faithful. And as we head into 2022, Lord, would you direct our path? Would you direct us to what you would have for us to do? And would you help us to become the disciples that you are calling us to be for your glory and for your honor? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.